Totally forgotten about.
What's that?
You know what tomorrow is?
It's not immediately coming to me.
Tomorrow is the first round of the 2026 Major League Baseball draft.
Ah.
This is tomorrow. So I just looked at the Athletics mock draft that they have. The Athletic has the Tigers selecting left-handed pitcher out of high school from Simpsonville, South Carolina.
Hey, my former stomping grounds.
From Southfield Christian School. Carson Bowman, 6'4", lefty, 210.
And that prediction has less than a 1% chance of being accurate. And you know that as well as I do.
And that's 100% right. Yeah. I mean, look, it's the draft. Who knows who's going to get it? It's just fun to see.
MLB amateur draft is last in the draft power rankings. We agree? NFL 1, NBA 2, NHL 3, MLB 4.
I think NHL and Major League Baseball are kind of in the same area because you don't really know. I mean, baseball I get more excited about, I guess. I don't know if excited is the right word. Maybe it is more prepared because you're not just drafting 18-year-olds. You're also drafting college kids, which I think is a big deal. I think it's really tough looking at the NHL draft when you're going internationally. Who knows what level you're really playing against? And, you know, it's kind of crazy with that. But I do enjoy them both very much so. Yeah, I check in to see what's going on? Yeah, I'll check in and see what's going on. I'm kind of curious about Jim Tomei's kid, Landon Tomei, who is 33 on the big board of the Athletic. He's a shortstop. Very fleet of foot, not like his father, but very fleet of foot. Apparently had like over 40 steals this year. But I'm curious. I do keep an eye on that. The guy that I secretly hope, outfielder Trevor Condon from Georgia. He's a high school kid from Etowah High School in Woodstock, Georgia. Just name I'm throwing out there.
You're channeling your inner Caputo right here, showing incredible knowledge of players no one else has heard of.
That's right. And there's no knowledge at all. I've read like three paragraphs on the guy over the last couple of weeks. I've seen a couple of different stories with it. I am nowhere near book status, nor will I ever be. Pat was a savant and was fantastic. But something Pat was prone to do was blow up from time to time. This is maybe the worst segue ever, but we're going to get there.
I experienced a couple of those.
So you
don't told, say.
So right, you told me about you haven't told me the story, but you sent me when we start giving ideas to each other about stuff we want to talk about on the show. You mentioned a tale of road rage. Mm-hmm. And my eyebrow goes up. Oh, I'm intrigued. Road rage with Mark Ryan. Mark is one of the most positive guys I've ever met in my life. Where do we get to road rage here?
Until he gets behind a wheel, apparently.
I guess so. Well, I don't know. Maybe somebody with him as opposed to him getting road rage. But you have the floor, my friend. I'm curious about this.
Thank you very much. So I like to live, Gator. I like to be close to the party, but I don't like to live in the party. I like to live in a quiet area, right? So I live by a lake, and the road tends to be very, very quiet, and I'm coming to work last Saturday. I'm coming to work, and there's nobody on the road, nobody, and it's like 12:30 p.m. It's about 25 miles an hour on the road, and as I'm going down the road that nobody is on, guy pulls out directly in front of me to the point that I have to slam on my brakes even though no one else is out on the road. Looks at me, sees me, pulls out anyway. There's nobody else there. You wait 3 seconds, right? You have the whole road to yourself. So I don't flip him off. I don't even wail on the horn. It's a quiet area. I don't want to disturb the people. I just do this. I raise my hands in the air like,
hey!
Yeah, hey! It's a very Italian thing to do, right? We talk with our hands. So that dude sees this, proceeds to go down to 10 miles an hour, and I have nowhere to go for the next 3.5 miles. It's 3.5 miles. I'm behind him. He goes from 25 down to 10 just because I'm behind him. And I'm rolling, and I'm like, it's like he got everything. It's like, okay, this guy's playing me. So we finally get up to the main road where you can turn right and it's two lanes. And you're thinking the same thing I am, right? I'm getting around this dude as fast as humanly possible. never to see him again. The second we're able to turn, dude goes 0 to 80 in 2 seconds. Gone. So in other words, your ass is going to wait behind me for 3.5 miles going 10 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And now I'm gone. Now I'm gone. So I'm like,
he was teaching you a lesson for the hand gesture.
Yeah. Oh,
which
God.
Is not an obscene hand gesture. It's just the, hey, hands up in the air, both sides. You're like, what? What are you doing? That's the hand gesture.
Right. So then you think it's over. So then we're going down the road and I need to get gas. And I see him signal to go into the same gas station that I'm going into. And I'm like, okay, I've got a philosophy in life. I don't let anyone's presence affect me from doing anything I would otherwise do.
Oh boy.
So I'm not allowed to skip going to the gas station. I've got to go to the same gas station.
So you're like, I need gas and I'm not going to be intimidated by this Yahoo who's clearly upset with me for going, hey!
Hey! Right, that's exactly right.
This may not be the prudent thing to do here, but this is what you're doing. Okay.
This is what I'm doing. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, there could be a confrontation when I get out of the car. So he pulls into the gas station, and because he was going, I want to guess, 83 miles an hour on a 40 mile an hour road, I'm right there. I'm signaling. I'm going in. Right before I pull in, I see the unmistakable flashing blue and red lights directly behind me.
Oh.
And I'm thinking to myself, the hell did I do? Why are these lights on me? What did I do?
Well, this story has layers, Bobby. I did not expect this.
Right. So then I pull into the gas station. Copper pulls around me to him.
Oh, there you go. Justice is in the world.
So he is there. I'm on the lane next to him, the stall next to him.
Getting gas.
Getting gas. Rolls down his window, looks at me, Gator. And I give him the blowing of a kiss.
Oh.
I blow the kiss. He was there for 20 minutes, and I sat there with a smile on my face the entire time.
Sweet, sweet justice.
My wife estimates that that ticket was upwards of $400 for 83 and a 40. And I would love to have been a fly on the wall. Like, I had to show that guy a lesson. What explanation?
Well, he's lucky he didn't get arrested.
Right.
I mean, who knows? Maybe, I mean, you didn't stick there for the whole traffic stop.
Oh, I did.
Oh,
yeah.
You did?
I stayed there. I smiled the whole time. I would not leave. I had enough time. I didn't need to get to work right away. I stayed there the whole time. He got the kiss blown. He got everything. I'm all about making friends, Gator, and I think I made some friends in the community. But that to me is the payoff. I don't know if I'm guilty of road rage. You guys tell me. But that to me is the payoff that none of us get when it comes to the bad guy. You're never 100%. Gets his comeuppance.
You're 100% right. When somebody does you wrong on the roadways and you do something like, hey, or whatever, somebody does something that's egregious on the road and they shouldn't do it. And you're like, if only there was a cop here to see this right now. Where are the cops when you need them? You know, instead of pulling me over for expired license tabs, why aren't they out here busting this guy for driving like a jackass? Like, where is that? And you actually got to experience that in the wild. Frankly, I'm jealous.
I know.
Because you're right. It never happens like that. It never happens like that. And my first instinct was when you were telling the story and you got 3 miles to go on a road and this guy's going 10 and a 25, is that I would have 100% would have tried to get around him. And no doubt after hearing this story, he would have sped up and not let you do that. Fine. I'll get back in line. And I would expect us to be even. And if we're not, and the guy continues to go slow, the way that I drive, I would lay down the horn a little bit. I'd probably do a little bit more of, hey!
But maybe not the entire hand. Maybe a one-finger salute for
I'm known to do that. I'm not above it. I'll tell people. Yeah, I've done that. But then at some point, I'll recognize that this is getting into a dangerous situation. Not that I think we're going to get out of the cars and fight, because that's not going to happen. But because this guy is so unhinged that he could slam on the brakes again. Now, it's a 25-mile-an-hour zone. It's 10 miles an hour. Look, at some point, I'm just going to be like, you do you, buddy. And it's a different hand gesture. It's just, all right, go ahead. It's my palm up, one hand towards the windshield. Yep, go ahead. Do what you want to do. And then when you get to that chance to pass and he goes 80, I'm not going 80 to pass him. I'm just going to say, oh, dude, it's 40 miles an hour here. You know, I do tend drive a little faster. I may go up to 50 maybe, and that's it.
I was probably willing to go up to 60 to get by him, but when I saw him do what he did. So right. Mind you, you're thinking, who is this guy? He was a middle-aged dude with a middle-aged woman sitting next to him. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, wow, this looks like a mid-50s married couple. What was she thinking? Was she like, I'm divorcing you over this, or was she encouraging him to do this?
Probably encouraging, and to right up until the point where the red and blue lights come flashing, and you got to pull over. Interesting story. It leads to a discussion that we will get to next. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1. All right. So Mark just told his tale of road rage. I find it interesting. I'm more on the aggressive side as a driver. I don't think I'm reckless. I don't think I'm dangerous. I just, take advantage of some situations in driving where I like to move. I don't like to go ultra fast. I'd like to go faster than
you probably should.
I'm not doing 55 in a 40. I'll probably do close to 50 in a 40. There are moments where maybe I want to go a little bit quicker. But I keep things in check. I've got a pretty good driving record over the years. But, have there been gestures flashed at me or by me from time to time? Yes. But I am less inclined today to give somebody a gesture, whether it's a simple, hey, or it's a middle finger, giving the guy a bird or a girl the bird, depending on who's driving. I'm less inclined to do that now. Because I think things have gotten way nasty. And this is something that is, I think, tangible over the last 10 years. I have no doubt that if you look at road rage incidents from, say, 2016 to now, that you will see a massive increase. And I think it got worse after COVID. Because I think once, people were restricted for so long and then they get back out in the wild and people just had no idea how to behave and be civil to each other. And it's just, it's gotten to a point where it's awful. And now people get triggered by a bumper sticker. Like, it doesn't even have to be somebody cutting you off. It could be a bumper sticker. It could be a color scheme and someone's going to pass judgment on somebody and do something stupid like flip them off as they go past. I'm like, what's the point? What are you doing? Who cares?
I'm convinced that if you rear end the wrong person, your life is over. And I don't ever remember having that conscious thought behind the wheel anymore, right? It's like you should pay attention when you're driving, but the number one reason is you rear-end the wrong person, it's game, set, match, right? And that's where we are right now. But in my story, Gator, I got the payoff that people dream of,
you
never even get to see. And I was sitting there watching the whole... I have not had a 20 minutes that I enjoy more in years in my life. Ah, it was tremendous.
Well, 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. And I guess the number one question I have out of this is, what causes you to lose it when you're on the road? To me, I get impatient. There's a difference between losing it and getting impatient. I get impatient with people that are going too slow. And it doesn't mean if you're going to speed limit, that's fine. I have no beef. But if we're in a 45 mile an hour zone and you're going like 40 or 38, I lose it. There's a stretch when I come into work off of, I guess it would be 11 mile, and it's a short stretch. It's like a mile between where I enter it and where I have to turn onto the street where the building is at. And it's 45 miles an hour, and we're coming out of a roundabout to get there. And you come out of this roundabout, and people are driving if they're ahead of me, and they're going like 35 miles an hour. And I'm like, I'm losing it.
For that exact reason, I used to be a delivery driver, and I wanted to get like an electronic sign that I put up in my front window that had the speed limit.
Yeah.
Because I wanted them to know it's 45.
Right. So the hand gesture I'm making is like pointing, like when I see the speed limit sign that's on the side of the road there that says 45, and yet I realize if they see me going, hey, with the one hand, that they're going to be, what are you pointing at? Because they've already passed it. They can't see it. But it drives me nuts when people go slower. But I deal with it. I get impatient with it. What really gets me to lose it, though, is a similar situation to what you had. It's I'm driving along and somebody is waiting It's like the right circumstance. There's nobody behind me. All you have to do is wait another second for me to go past.
1 second.
And you decide not to. You decide you're going to pull out in front of me when you have no business pulling out in front of me because you can't possibly get up to speed quickly enough. You're forcing me, and if it's a situation where I have to hit the brakes really hard, then I'm going to get pissed. And yes, you're going to get gestures and things are going to be going to happen, and it drives me nuts.
And my violation apparently was that I didn't like that I had to slam on my brakes going just 25 miles an hour. By raising my hands up and going, what is it, Gator? Hey! By raising my hands and doing that, that was deserving of him then going down to 10 miles an hour for 3.5 miles. And I was thinking, this is an unstable individual. I'd like to keep my life. I'm just going to deal with this, but I'm gone. And then he didn't let me pass him.
Now, as a driver, and we mentioned briefly earlier, every guy thinks they can drive, grill, and call plays. Do I think I'm a better driver than most? Maybe in my head I can think that. But I also acknowledge if I've made a mistake. I know there have been moments where I did not have a good day driving. I made a bad decision. I pulled out where I should not have pulled out, and I got after it, and I didn't. It was completely unnecessary. And if I do something and somebody gives me the gesture, I apologize right away. Like, I automatically hold up my hand like, my bad, I'm sorry.
Hands
in
the air.
If we come to a stop sign and look at them, I my bad. I did. You're right. I was wrong. And I'll fully admit it.
That's good. I also like that you don't raise the hands and do the A if the person's actually going the speed limits. There are those that get mad when you're going the speed limit. Limit means the top speed at which you are legally allowed to go.
And you got the people driving in the passing lane that are just, they have it set at cruise control, but they don't want to get over. Those people suck. However, also understand if those people are still going faster than the people that are in the lane next to them, but they have it at cruise control, they're in no hurry to get past them. They just go, they're going 75 and the guy going that they're going to pass is going 71. But they're using the passing lane to do so, and I want to go 80, I can't be pissed at the person in front of me because they are literally passing the car, and hopefully they get over in a timely fashion. Devin is in Sterling Heights. Welcome to 97.1. Hey, Devin.
Hey, Devin.
Hey, Gator. Hey, Mark. So basically, I'll try and set the stage for you. I was breaking the law. I was texting and driving on Woodward and Sterling.
Oh, no.
There we go.
No. So I got the ending that we all dream of. Guy comes up to me. I'm in like a smaller car. Guy comes up to me in like a Dodge Ram. Windows are down. It's summertime. He starts berating me because I'm texting and driving, which I was.
Yep.
But I text and drive like kind of near the steering wheel so I can still look at the road like it's right there. He's texting and driving me, or he's berating me for texting and driving, which I was.
Yeah.
But he's looking at me, yelling at me, and boom, he smacks the rear end of the person in front of him.
Oh, so he was distracted by you doing something wrong, and now he's really going to get pissed because he's blaming you for distracting him.
Well, I was just, my lane was fine. I just kept going. I was just driving.
And then, Devin, you got lucky. You got lucky. It's the whole two wrongs don't make a right thing, Devin.
I know, but it was still very satisfying.
All right, thank you, Devin. I appreciate it, and hopefully you don't text and drive. That's another one. That's one that I will lay on the horn. If I'm at a stoplight and I see that somebody's texting on their phone, I can't wait for that light to turn green, and that person has 1 second. If you don't get and go because I see you're on your phone, I am 100% laying on the horn for you to get going because I feel like you're paying more attention to the phone than you are to what the road is.
It's become as dangerous as drinking and driving. You see someone evolving into another lane without trying to do so, they're doing one of two things. They've had too much to drink or they're texting while driving at the same time. It's crazy that the same thing happens. They start going over the center line, whether it's alcohol or texting and driving. Same thing every time.
Todd's on a cell. Todd, welcome to 97.1. Hey, Todd.
Todd, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. 6:30 Monday morning. This happened recently, May 18th. 6:30 Monday morning. On my way to work, jumping on 23, not even a mile up the road. Guy jumps on. I'm in a row of cars going past a semi-truck. Three cars in front of me, a row of cars behind me, including a van. Guy's coming on the expressway off a 9-mile road. sees he's going to get stuck behind the semi for a second, so he punches it, cuts in front of me, squeezes between me and the semi truck and the guy in front of me, then has to hit the brakes to slow down, otherwise he'd run into the
right.
the guy in front of me.
That's annoying.
So I flash my brakes at him. Nice move, buddy. And the cars that were in front of me, they're taking off, right? Well, he's sitting there at the back of the semi. Now he's not going. He's just riding along there. So I follow him for a minute, and I flash my brakes again, like, all right, let's go, bud. Still doesn't move. Mm. And I follow him like this about three miles all the way up to the next exit. Come around a corner. Well, they got the flex lane there on 23. It's not open, but I see a long straightaway. So I decide, you know what, I'm going around this guy. Hammer the gas, jump in that flex lane, and go to pass him. He speeds up. He won't let me get by him. I slow down, he slows down. I speed up, he speeds up. Next thing I know, so then I slow way down. Now I'm going 30, and we got traffic all backed up behind us, basically. And I ride like that for about a half mile. Then I just gun it. Get up going. I'm probably going 85, 90 miles per hour. I could see he's behind me in my rearview mirror, so I put my blinker on. I'm like, I'm getting over, bud. And I start moving back into the center lane, and he comes up and fills that space, and we touch cars.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, oh, my. I'm like, you fucking idiot. Well, oh, sorry, buddy. That,
no. Oh, my gosh. Really?
All right. Make sure I point over there, Bobby's guy.
Really? No, it's just.
You know what? It's road rage.
Just talking about it brought him right back to that same mentality.
Brought him right there. Let's
he
go.
Can't even talk about it.
Yeah. Dominic is at Luna Pier. Dominic, welcome to 90 some. Oh, sorry.
We got to do that waiting thing for it to catch back up.
My bad.
That happens more here to me than it has anywhere else I've been. It's an average of one per show. No, I'm convinced it's me that's enraging these poor people.
Nah, it doesn't happen that often, but it does happen from time to time. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. We got lots of texts as well. Anything you want to talk about, what we talked about today. We've got a lot of sports stuff. We've got the Everyman topic here with the road rage stuff because Mark went through it something recently, and yet he got to experience the best part of it, the sweet, sweet justice of somebody that actually got pulled over for driving like an ass, and I love that part of it. God, that is so great. We'll talk about it next here on 97.1. Back to Carson Anderson program here on 97.1. I guess, did we lose the call that I tried to get to, unfortunately, because he had a baseball question. So I will paraphrase what he was going to ask, because I think it's an interesting one. He was suggesting, should the Tigers go after Luis Arias, who is a infielder with the
San
Francisco Giants.
I've loved him for years.
He's a left-handed hitter, plays first, second, third base. He's a heck of a player. He is a well above 800 OPS guy. He is hitting over, I think it's 326 he's hitting this year. He's a free agent at the end of the year. So you're talking about a rental. But a player, nonetheless, is this a guy that you could see them going for? Because of the position, I'm not sure it fits with them.
Last year was the year to go after him. They didn't even give up a top 10 prospect to get him. That was the one I was pulling my hair out. Where were you, Detroit, when you needed players who could put the ball in play? This year you have McGonagall. Last year he would have been the perfect fit.
So he obviously has value because he's a great hitter. And when this is a guy that this is exactly what I'm talking about. When people say right-handed bat, I say, no. Can you hit left-handed pitching? That's what I care about. I don't care you're more likely to be able to hit left-handed pitching if you're right-handed. But here are his splits this year. Versus right-handed pitching, the left-handed hitting Arias is hitting 328 with an 829 OPS. Versus left-handed pitching, as a left-handed hitter, he's hitting 321 this year with an 807 OPS. He just hits flat out.
Most underrated player in all of Major League Baseball, and why is it? Because he doesn't have power. Who gives a rip? Gets on base, makes contact, moves the runners over. You know
center.
All the thing the Tigers don't do well? He does them.
The things that they want to do well. Because the Tigers do, this is exactly the player that they'd like to have. But because of the position, you know, first, second, and third. I mean, if you're assuming Gleyber Torres is going to be healthy, are you trying to move Gleyber Torres? Because he's the same situation. He's a rental as well for a team if you're going to trade him. I mean, you're probably hanging on to Gleyber Torres, who actually has a higher on base percentage than Arias does. I mean, he's not going to, we're going to put him over at third base. No, I mean, that's where, you know, McGonigal's either playing short or third. I'm not sure if it fits. But I would try to find a way for it to make it fit. And yet it probably isn't the greatest fit for the Tigers, but I do appreciate, in trying to work that out. Let's go back to the phones and Chad, you're next up here at 97.1. Hey, Chad.
Hey, Chad.
Hey, Gator. You're my favorite host, by the way.
Oh, thanks, Chad.
And Mark with a C. My wife is listening right now because she knows Mark's on the air. She loves Mark.
Oh, boy. Look out.
So, yeah. Road rage, you know, we all do it. We all have it. We all get angry. You know, I flip the bird every now and then, too. But the danger is the generational. The generational. You know, it's the people that are under 30 that are going to get out and jump on your hood or go cut in front of you and lock their brakes up. And if you actually look it up, you'll see that most of the violent road rage incidents are people under 30.
Doesn't surprise me. I think it's like I look at it as almost like the MMA generation, which is why, you know, at my age, I ain't fighting anybody. Like, forget it. That's just not happening. I don't need to get into that world anymore. I'm well past the prime. It's not happening. And when I've seen fights break out in bars or after games or whatever, it's to me, it's frightening with the veracity that these people are throwing punches at each other now. It's way different than what it was 20, 30 years ago. People are trained fighters now, and it's like, I don't want any part of that.
No, you're totally right. Used to be it was viewed as a scrap, and you were going to get one or two shots in, and you really didn't have the intent on ending somebody.
I don't need somebody, you know, getting my taking my back, getting me into a submission, then pull across and ground and pound, and next thing, you know, I'm waking up in the hospital. I don't need that.
Well, back in the day, we broke up fights. I did.
Exactly.
You know, today, people they film them, and they let them go, and they let them go, and they let them go. But I do have a baseball comment, too.
Yeah, quick.
We're really deep in the minor leagues at catcher, aren't we?
Yes, very deep, in fact. You know, the guy they brought up, Valencia, is a catcher. You got Tyron Lorenzo, who is one of their top prospects. He's a catcher. Jose Josue Briseño is a first baseman catcher type. They drafted one last year in Oliveto. That's another catcher.
Nito's down there.
He's not a prospect, and they've got other guys that are international players that they've signed at the lower levels of the minors that are catching prospects as well. They're pretty stocked.
Yeah. So don't you think if we were to buy, don't you think we'd be trading catchers would be most of what we would trade away?
100%. I agree with that, Chad. And I think it's, and thanks for the call. I think it's great that, you know, you look at the Tigers organization as when it comes to their top prospects. If you go to the MLB pipeline and you look at their list, Briseño is the number three prospect in their organization, catcher first base. But I think he's more of a first baseman type. Lorenzo is the same thing, but he's their number five prospect. He's at double-A ball. And Oliveto is their number 11 prospect who's playing in rookie league right now. So, yeah, 100%. If I'm going to trade, I'm going to trade one of the catchers. That'd be my first thing to offer fair value to somebody. And catchers have a lot of value in the league. Every team is looking for the next catcher. And because it's dealing from a position of strength. Right now, Dylan Dingler's a guy. Dylan Dingler is signed for the next, I think, three or four years.
And just entering his prime.
I shouldn't say signed. He's arbitration eligible and doesn't hit free agency for 3 or 4 years. So they're in good shape with Dylan Dingler. And by the time, you know, if next year comes around, is Jake Rogers still going to be your backup or is it going to be Valencia? I mean, you've already got guys ready to roll. So, yes. And if a team's looking, if fans are looking to see how this works out and you see, wow, the number five prospect's a catcher. Yeah. Go ahead. And he's one of the top.
That's what you do. You trade your surplus to help you in areas where you're thin.
Mike is next here in Livonia. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right.
great show.
Thanks, man.
You know, the road rage thing. This is what really gets me. I mean, I'm 65 years old. Yeah, I used to drive crazy when I was a kid. But, you know, I keep it cool now. I don't want any problems. What I don't get is, you know, I'm going the speed limit. I'm in the passing lane. And, you know, somebody's up on my rear end, gets around me, you know, and then almost cuts me off to get around me. And then 500 feet ahead, he comes up to a red light. I mean, I don't get that, man. I mean, I just don't get it.
Well, and for that person,
that's about all I got. But I think it's crazy. And it is. And you know what? The other thing, if I don't mind, is I'm sorry, but, it, you know, it was always the boys that were the crazy drivers. These little girls nowadays are out of their minds. I mean, they just don't care.
So confirmed.
There we go. All right, thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it.
9 out of 10, when I see something crazy going on, 9 out of 10, it's the group that he just mentioned.
Really?
9 out of 10 crazy things happening.
Just doing crazy driving, or is it because they're distracted, or that they just, like you said,
I don't know if something happened in their day. A lot of times they're on the phone. It's not, but I totally agree. You know what that is when they pass you real fast and then they end up with it? That's karma.
It is karma. And when you're the person that's doing the passing and that's it, like you're frustrated with the guy and like I finally get around him and then you get stuck at a light, it just makes it so much worse. You're like, oh, come on. I'm stuck again. I had a situation.
And now
like
they
that
get
yesterday.
To taunt you. They get to taunt you at the light.
And it wasn't a road rage thing yesterday, but it was I was trying to get from my house to a golf course to meet a friend of mine. We're gonna play 9 holes of golf. And the route was difficult because of construction. And I knew part of it was construction, but I didn't know other parts of it were construction. Like this other lane that's an east-west street that should not have been under construction. All of a sudden, that's down to one lane. I'm like, well, I didn't know that. And now I'm looking at the clock. We got a 3:30 tee off time, and it's at 3:15 right now. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm only 2 miles away, but I should be able to get there, right? And then there's something else that happens, and now I got to do reroute. And I'm losing my mind because I don't want to be late for this whole thing, but it sneaks up on you. Just take a breath, everybody. Just take a breath. You know,
namaste.
We're all in this together in the wonderful land of construction. Don is next up on the self. Hey, Don. Welcome to 97.1.
Hey, how are you? How are you, gentlemen?
All right.
I've got a similar case of road rage, same as Mark had. Driving to work at 11 o'clock, I make a left-hand turn, and all of a sudden I'm driving, the guy's next to me is shaking his fist at me, he's yelling at me. I don't know what I did. He goes and he pulls in front of me, slams on his brakes. I slam on my brakes. He gets alongside of me. He's yelling at me, blah, blah, blah. What did I do this or whatever did I do? All along, I'm on my way to work. I go to a Michigan turn to go into work. He's behind me. He puts his bumper on my bumper and is trying to push me into the traffic. His tires are squealing, and I'm holding on. I said, you know what? There's a police station about a half a mile away. I pull into the police station. I get out of the car. He's yelling at me, you mother, blah, 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 and all that stuff. All of a sudden, the guy grabs him. He throws him to the ground, and he puts cuffs on him. The police officer had seen the whole thing.
That's beautiful.
He asked me,
sounds like James Pierce, doesn't it?
He asked me if I wanted to press charges. I said, no, the guy's just an idiot. You know, I'm on my way to work or whatever. But I thought, I never knew what I did wrong, you know.
The fact that guy wouldn't abort mission when you pulled into the police station.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
That's number one sign this guy is not of the right mind. Like, are you aware where you're going into right now? Hello?
Only sees red, does not see the badge. Wow.
That's crazy.
And James Pierce did exactly that. You know that story, right?
Vaguely.
James Pierce was chasing his girlfriend, bumping into her, trying to run her off the road. She goes into the police station. He doesn't stop doing this, actually hits a police officer, which is why he's got the problems he does now. And that guy was linked to the Lions.
Is that a problem?
Well, yeah, some say.
That would be the structure of a problem.
Yes, it would be.
248-539-9797. This is 97.1. I'm stunned that we forgot to do our mock draft for Major League Baseball draft tomorrow.
How dare us?
Yeah. No, it is kind of funny. We pay no attention to the MLB draft until afterwards, and we'll tell you who the Tigers took and that's about it. You know, and then it's a waiting game to see when they get brought up. It's interesting what they've done under Scott Harris with going with high school kids. Not against it. It's a long play, and it's worked out. I mean, the McGonigal situation's awesome. It looks like Max Clark is ready to join this team soon, maybe this year, but probably next year. Bryce Rayner, I spoke earlier about what a great start he's off to. He's at high A ball. He's killing it. OPS over 900.
Last year was the big stretch in the draft, though. Like they drafted a guy last year. I'm blanking on the name.
Yost.
I hope he didn't pull a muscle with that stretch. He was projected to go like 75th.
Well, he's off to a decent start, yeah. Decent enough start. But it's Jordan Yost is their was the pick. He's 19 years old. He's playing at Lakeland. His first year in the minors, his first at bats, and he's got 180 at bats. He's hitting 256, but his OPS is 733. Just kind of getting under his feet here. We'll see where he ends up projecting, but may have been a. I agree with you. That may have been a stretch, and they seem to love themselves some shortstops. But nonetheless, we'll see what happens tomorrow, and we'll bring it up on Monday's show briefly. But All-Star break coming up. We got the series against Philadelphia, then the All-Star break. It's interesting do the Phillies, who are in town, where the All-Star game is in Philadelphia, will they extend an offer to Kevin McGonigal, Riley Green, and Dylan Dingler to join their plane to get back to Philly? Or are these guys going to have to get their own flight, which is probably the right thing to do, but could be interesting there. You got McGonigal, who's a Philly guy. He gets to go home. Sleep in his own bed during the All-Star break and also enjoy the game and 100 friends and family or whoever is going to be at the game to see him play. It's got to be a special moment.
This is a perfect storm for him in terms of what he's done and the fact that there's gatekeeping typically, I think, against younger players to even make it to this point. You have to be above and beyond anyone close to you, and Kevin McGonigal has been of that. And now you get the series against a surefire NL playoff team. What a measuring stick moment for you when you have the height of the best baseball you've played all year.
Yep. I'm looking forward to this series against the Philadelphia Phillies. As you mentioned, Philadelphia playing pretty good baseball. They're 52-42. We're going to see Flaherty, Mize, and Scooble. Can the Tigers find two wins in there? That'd be great if they could win the series and keep this momentum going in the right direction, heading into a short break. And then coming out of it, you've got the Angels and the Cubs. You're on the road for those games. And then the schedule really kind of lightens up going into the trade deadline. There's a lot of damage this team can do in digging out of this hole that they dug for themselves in May. They're only 7 games below 500 now. They're looking like this is a really good baseball team right now. They're getting timely hitting. They're hitting the ball with power. They're getting outstanding starting pitching. And then they have a major hole in their bullpen. But we'll see what improvements they make.
You and I both, too, as well today, calling our shots, they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they make. I think that they're a playoff team before the trade deadline. That's, I guess, the call that I've made. Nathaniel is next up here, 97.1. Hey, Nathaniel.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, you?
I'm doing well. Kind of to piggyback off of the road rage, this happened last night. I was on 275 northbound going towards 96 eastbound, and a car got off of the entrance ramp, and it didn't have taillights on. So, like a good Samaritan, I flashed my high beams twice at him, and so he slows down, and I'm like, oh, okay, he's going to roll down his window and say, like, what's up? Nope, he gets behind me, proceeds to flash his high beams at me, and then continue to follow me while honking his horn, not like in succession, but like little beeps. And so I'm like, okay, well, I can't see anything at this point, so I slow down, and then he guns it in front of me, slams on his brakes.
Oh, the brake check.
So finally, I'm like, let me move out of the way. So I get into the other lane, and then he slows down and then proceeds to continue to honk his horn in little beeps at me while riding, like, at my eye level. So I look over, I roll down my window. I'm like, hey, roll down your window. I just, like, nothing personal, dude. Like, your taillights are out. And so then he just follows me for literally probably, like, the next 3 to 5 miles before I go to get off on 96 eastbound. And then he flies. He goes, like, 95 miles per hour.
Nathaniel, I got to tell you this. I've had that same thought. Do I give this person whose lights are not on the double quick flash, and then I decide no because of the fear that you experienced? Because you don't,
yeah. Like,
how does this person not realize that they don't have their lights on? This is clearly not somebody who's having the elevator go to the top floor, right?
No, and thanks for the call, Nathaniel. I love sentences that start like this. In what world, in what world does it make sense to brake check somebody? Like, if you're that upset with what's happening and you slam on your brakes,
yeah.
What is your point?
Especially in a no-fault state that we're in.
I mean, if you slam on your brakes and somebody hits you, do you know how incredibly inconvenient this whole thing is?
For you.
For you. Let alone for the other person. You don't care about them. You want it being inconvenient for them, but you just made it inconvenient for you. You just damaged your own car. And if they have a dash cam that shows that you brake checked them, you're going to get a ticket on top of it. Like, I don't understand.
So your increased insurance.
Right. So your hope is that I can brake check, but I do it far enough ahead of you that the person's going to stop and not hit me. So now you're relying on the guy that you think is a dumbass driver in the first place.
His reflexes. He's going to be able to stop. Oh, I'm going to get over on him. Meanwhile, he ends up in your back seat. What a move.
And this is why I don't even do the flipping off the bird or whatever, the come on, you know, the Italian look. What I like to do, and it's kind of efficient, I started this shortly after the pandemic. If I can make eye contact with someone, if they cut me off or whatever, a little road rage moment, look in their eyes and just give them a thumbs down.
Yeah, I love the thumbs down.
Do
it's
the
great.
Disappointed dad look, yeah. And it works. They look a little dejected.
I love
you
the
do the thumbs down.
Down. I do a thumbs down occasionally. I love it. That's brilliant. It's just because that's just like you're bringing the temperature down a little bit because there's a little levity there. But you're also letting the person know you're
an
idiot.
Suck.
And like, you gotta do the facial emotions, kind of like look bum, like
yeah,
really.
Like,
yeah, this is what you did to me.
I'm not
thumbs down.
I'm not mad at you. I'm disappointed. Oh no,
there's nothing worse than somebody being disappointed.
Worst thing that my father ever said to me growing up.
I'm disappointed. Yeah,
I'm
totally.
Not mad at you. I'm just disappointed.
I'd rather have him be fired up than like I let him down. Oh, absolute worst.
Did I really disappointed you with that? By hiding progress reports from school? I'm sorry.
By forging a detention? I forged a detention. I let you down?
I never did that, but the hiding the progress reports. And I didn't even need to hide them. They were good progress reports. But my brother wanted to hide his, so I had to hide mine.
You weren't making progress?
I was doing fine. My brother was not applying himself, which is, you know, that was just part of his life. It's not true, actually. He applies himself very well, and he's done an amazing job throughout his life. Hey, Mark, been a good couple days. Looks like we're going to do it again on Monday because Doug's still upset about what's happened with MJF. Have a great weekend. 97.1.